One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, the second Oh My God video games report of the day is from Fallout 76, a game that has been on fire for many years and now has been fully detailed, thanks to a report from Kotaku, into the reality of just what the living hell was going on at Bethesda for the last sort of 5-6 years.
My friend, it was a lot, if this report is to be believed. I would definitely recommend everyone go and read it. It's on Kotaku, like Scott said. It is called The Human Toll of Fallout 76's Disastrous Launch. They have spoken to a bunch of anonymous sources who worked on the game, primarily QA testers at the time, and this is like a wide-ranging thing going into the crunch that apparently happened on the game, what people said about like getting issues that they knew about the game flagged up to management who apparently didn't do anything. There is a lot to talk about, but I guess the crux of the reason why Fallout 76 was the way it was at launch is apparently, according to this report, like they just had no idea how to make a live service game in pretty much every area. Like, they talk in this report about how they essentially, like so many developers do, go into a project with like a hubristic attitude of, oh, well, we have so much experience, we've made all of these great games, this one will be fine, we know best. Mm-hmm. But making, as this report points out, a game like Fallout 4 or Skyrim is markedly different to making a live service game like Fallout 76, and everything from the engine to the time that testers were allowed to spend with the game to the core design philosophy of the title apparently just wasn't there. So I'm going to get into more details in a second, but do you have anything particularly that you want to point out?
I just laughed. I just kind of thought, yeah, you could tell. Like, I mean, that was always the thing, and I always appreciate, because you were saying they're going to it with a sort of hubristic attitude of like, well, we've done lots of things before, we can make this thing work.
Yeah.
And I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. I love any artist, any creative, anyone who reaches for something. I'll champion the reach, but you've got to make a decent grasp of it when you get there. And it's that thing where Fallout 76 could have been scrappy little Bethesda trying something, which is what used to be one of their greatest traits. They were the little dev who could. You know, and they used to blow us away with the likes of Oblivion. You used to forget about the bugs, or at least accept them as of Skyrim. And then Fallout 4 was the last straw, which the camel's back was already broken by the time 76 came out. And we just kind of went, you can't do this. You're getting bigger and more ridiculous. And the disaster is only more pronounced. So I just kind of laugh.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a... like, obviously, you know, Fallout 76 became a meme. But you read this report and you look at just how much, like, stress a lot of the developers were under. And how
it's
much
horrifying.
Chaos was going on, apparently, with this game. And it's like, it is crazy. You know, they talk in this about, you know, some of the more veteran developers from games like Skyrim, from games like Fallout 4, and even Fallout 3, you know, working on Fallout 76 and essentially saying, I don't want to make this game. Like, that's the common thread throughout this report, is these sources saying that everyone apparently on the team, apart from the very top management, was like, why are we making this? We joined Bethesda to make single player games, and now we're playing a live service title without any NPCs. How has this happened? And apparently there was a kind of real fracture between the people making the game and the people supposedly overseeing it. One of the main points was that, according to some of the sources, while Todd Howard was supposed to be, you know, in charge and leading the game, he was apparently spending more time on Starfield, which is still yet to come out, and would come back to the development of Fallout 76 and do something that the sources describe as seagulling, which is very evocative, and I will describe exactly what that is. According to the report, quote, Todd Howard was supposed to be in charge of the game, but he spent most of his time working on Starfield, which reportedly started development after Fallout 4 shipped. One source told Kotaku that his subordinates would call it seagulling when he would, quote, fly by later, and over an idea that had popular traction within the design team.
Oh my god.
And this is, again, another common thread. Apparently, one of the things that the developers pushed back against was the idea of having no NPCs in the game at all, which was obviously incredibly controversial and didn't go down well with fans, because a huge chunk of what people get out of Fallout games is the storytelling and the characters. So to take the human characters out of the game, like, that just seemed like a red flag immediately.
Yep.
Apparently, this was flagged by the developers, who kind of kept throwing it up the chain to be like, this is a bad idea, this is a bad idea. And according to the report, Todd Howard allegedly just wouldn't budge on that idea specifically.
Because he was the one out there talking about, the idea that, you'll dictate the villains, you'll dictate the heroes, that the whole interconnected universe of different players will make for all these really awesome dynamic interactions between other players, and all of a sudden maybe you'll build up animosity towards a certain person, and that's the story that you're telling across Fallout 76. I have No Man's Sky kind of Hello Games style, where he's describing a version of the game that doesn't exist at that point in time, but he's trying to market the thing that will hopefully be in your hands months down the line, which is a whole other conversation to be had about the reality of video game marketing. But like that's the thing, if he was that like set on that idea, which you can romanticize that idea, or maybe it would work in some version of Fallout 76 that actually did just work, but at the same time, you think about the tenets of the IP, and we mentioned this in the Battlefield video, there are certain things that make up a franchise, that make up an IP, there are certain expectations you have to stick to, and I think an immersive world with other characters to talk to other than players jumping around and teabagging is one of the things that people like about Fallout.
Absolutely. I mean, apparently the issues that the devs brought up with the game as well, like, went down to like the really kind of granular things that people eventually criticized the game for anyway. There is a quote here where they say, quote, some designers raised questions about griefing, multiplayer stability issues, and quest checkpointing, but said their concerns were dismissed or postponed by management. And it's stuff like that mismanagement and kind of having people who know that the game is in a bad shape, they know what they need to fix, and then not being able to fix it, not having the permission to fix it, like, that is the thing that seemingly tanked it, at least at launch.
There's one bit in here, and you might get here as you go, but there's one bit where someone says, there are all these veteran developers who have been there some since Fallout 3, and this, they say that this was the straw that broke their back, that they've sort of been waning on their love for Bethesda over the years. It's Bethesda, you should stick around, but it was being forced through this game's development that eventually made them go, no, I'm actually done. Like, this, it was just that bad and that mismanaged and that unfocused and that pointless of a thing to put together if you're loving Fallout and loving Bethesda, and that some people would rather go out the door.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that again is a huge focus of the article. Obviously, the article is called The Human Toll of It, and it goes into that from top to bottom, from the QA testers who were apparently, incredibly overworked, incredibly frustrated, who just were like stressed out and needed to get out of that company, to the veteran developers that you said who had been at this franchise, at this studio for decades, and they decided, like, this is my breaking point, this is the time I'm going to go. And it just seems, again, according to the report, like there was this level of a lack of respect almost from to everyone working on the game and the people who were trying to help the game get better. There is a great section in the report where they talk about, asking the team who worked on the Elder Scrolls Online for help, and apparently they just didn't want it. Again, going back to that hubristic attitude, it's where we made Fallout 4, like, we know how to make a game, and it's like, yeah, but do you know how to make a live service game? You have this team over here who has been through all of these issues. Like, the report mentions that the Elder Scrolls Online, obviously, that had, again, a rocky launch. But they learned from those mistakes, and they turned the Elder Scrolls around Online around to be this really successful, really kind of, like, fan-loved thing.
Yeah.
But apparently, that was viewed, and I quote, as a fluke. Like, that was just seen by Bethesda as this fluky thing, and we don't need to talk to those developers, we don't need their help, even though they're the only people within the team who has created a live service video game.
They built it with a box of scraps.
It's nuts.
Sorry, I'm not Elder Scrolls Online.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well,
HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, it's like every single part of this. It's always the thing where I have to obviously give it to as many members of the team that it needs to be given to, that looking back in hindsight is going to be a way to cherry pick different things of the way the project came together. However, we do see these things pop up so much, so many times. That's why I laugh so much about it. It's not to devalue the reality of what these people went through. No. Obviously, it sounds horrific. I've done bug testing for games, not for very long, but I've done a little bit of it. And it's one of those things where if you were doing that day in, day out, and they talk about being given the wrong build for a game, spending your day's work, your 9 to 5, going through the wrong build of the game.
Dude, yeah. I'll get into that in a second. You keep going.
Yeah, and then telling the standing up in the room and going, well, what the hell's the point? This is a waste of time. There's that level of management being so messy. Even at that degree, it's like I said, I laugh at the reality of how, how ridiculous that this keeps happening is. Yeah. But it is a hell of a human. It is literally a hell of a human toll.
100%. You know, I do want to kind of point out and flag that when the game came out, like it's the QA testers in a lot of way who get like the brunt of, or not the brunt of a backlash, but certainly a lot of backlash. It's like, why didn't you test this game? Why aren't you good at your job?
Yes.
And like you mentioned there, it's not that there was a lack of testing. It's that that testing process wasn't refined. Like you said, they were getting, you know, builds that weren't even the thing that they were currently testing right now. Like, they were getting old builds and the developers were already working on something else. So if they were reporting a bug for this, it wouldn't matter because it wouldn't even match up. You know, the report goes into details about how updates to the builds to make it better would just break it entirely.
Yeah.
And because they're working on the engine that was built for stuff like Skyrim, which is already a creaky engine for those RPGs.
Yeah.
So to expand that out into a multiplayer thing apparently just didn't really kind of work at all. And that's a shame, because like it's not a lack of testing. That's not the issue. Like, these QA testers were apparently like overworked, you know, working so many hours, working weekends when they didn't want to. But it was that a lot of that time was just wasted because, like you said, you know, they didn't have the right tools to do their job properly.
Yeah, that's always the thing. And they mentioned in the report about being receiving death threats and being on the front line of the assumed people responsible for the state the game was in, whereas it is just this systematic failure on almost all departments. But obviously you can bring that, it is all under the umbrella of the management, of the focus, of the overall like direction for the project itself. But yeah, as we get more distance from Fallout 76, whenever I like read more about it, I think back on just how insanely mismanaged the whole thing was, whether it was the Nuka-Cola tie-in stuff, the weird bin bag pre-order bag.
Oh god, I forgot about that.
There's all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Where every single wing of this was just so ridiculously mishandled. It's a hell of a thing.
There's one more quote that I want to get to, because it's just absolutely scathing. It's one of the most scathing things in one of these reports.
Yeah, I remember.
So someone was talking essentially about the chaos in the studio, and they said, quote, "I don't know how Bethesda made Skyrim. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, it had to have been like monkeys with a typewriter creating Shakespeare. I don't know how things could be so chaotic and people are still able to do their jobs." And I think that kind of sums up the sentiment of this report. Just chaos at sort of every level, no communication, and just kind of like developing with the hope that eventually it'll come together. And we just did a news video, which might be out now on Battlefield 2042. And again, it's kind of like the hope that we have all of these disparate parts. Will it come together? You know, we've talked about, in terms of reports like this before, about BioWare magic, about Bethesda magic, about Naughty Dog magic. You know, each one of these teams has that kind of, I would say, arrogant idea because they are a developer of such high caliber, these projects will just naturally come together because we're Bethesda. Because why wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. It obviously, you know, eventually as these games get bigger and bigger and more, like, you know, resource demanding, like that magic is running out.
The thing that I really like, it's so fascinating because I think if you're a team, because there's a whole thing in the report about, you know, Bethesda are, you know, whatever worked in the 90s, we'll just stick to that. We're Bethesda. We're quite a small team in the grand scheme of things. Like they're about 400 people big in the scope of an industry where Ubisoft are multiple thousands. So it's that whole thing of a small team attitude that has gotten gradually bigger, but the general mentality at the core of it is we know what we're doing, we're Bethesda, we'll just keep going. And like Josh said, there was that whole thing that came out around the development of Anthem about the BioWare magic, the idea that if we just keep going, it'll come together somehow. And there is a hubristic side to that, but it's weird because I also kind of want to I want to champion the ambition of that as well, the potential ambition of it. Yeah. Obviously, in so many cases now where it hasn't worked. But you want to believe that there is still that small indie developer or small developer who could mentality in there that is prioritizing creativity and reaching an ambition, but it does need to meet the reality of a large-scale video game development cycle.
That's it.
Which is where the rubber hits the road, or the people hit the wall of crunch, and then it just this stuff just keeps happening.
I think that's an illuminating thing that is reported about in the report, that is reflected upon across a bunch of different studios, and it is the sentiment that it's not the 90s anymore. It's not even the early 2000s anymore. And
these teams just had an album.
They did, Scott. They did.
It was good.
But these studios have gotten bigger and bigger while still adopting that small team mentality, as the report puts it, and it's kind of like, yeah, that is at the heart of a lot of these old school studios that once had success with like smaller teams creating these big ambitious games, and they could pull it off because, you know, it's much easier to wrangle 40, even 100 developers than it is to wrangle 400, or to take people off working on games like Redfall, which was reportedly what was happening during Fallout 76's development, and kind of bring them in and kind of wrangle all those people. Like, that's just not sustainable on that scale at all.
No, so also in this report, just as a sign-off thing, is the reality of Starfield overlapping with this game's development and various assets and people being brought onto that. So I'm so curious what Starfield's going to be. Like, yeah, I kind of view it as they need it to land in a way that Skyrim did. They need it to be this huge deal that makes us go, oh my god, you've still got it, Bethesda. And the likes of Todd Howard prioritizing that, I was going to say, gives me hope. It doesn't. It gives me some level of authenticity to the old school Bethesda that Fallout 76 didn't have. Anyway, let us know what you think down in the comments below of the entire situation as it has unfolded so far. And also, you might have noticed that the Future Game Show logo is hanging out behind us, that this whole background has changed. That is because the Future Game Show is on Saturday, in amongst all the other awesome video game announcements that are happening across the next few days. And you can check it out streaming online, powered by Mana, on Saturday night, 8 p.m. in the UK, 12 p.m. Daylight Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The event's hosted by The Witcher 3's Geralt and Yen, Doug Cockle and Denise Goff, and there'll be tons of games and even some world premieres, Josh.
World premieres?
Stuff to check out. So if you're in a video game-ass mood, which we very much are, and check the link in the description for more details. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.